Well, good morning again. It's good to be here with you. Hey, Jill. What's up? We are in the middle of this series called It's Who We Are. We're talking about our core values here at Island Church, and we spent a couple of weeks talking about the first one of those, which was called Abide, right? It's on the back of the shirts, right? Abide, which means a relationship with Jesus, right? Abiding is spending time with Jesus, getting to know what Jesus is like, seeing what's important to Him to make that important to us, so that His ways can become our ways. And then last week, we got into our second core value as a church, which is this idea of connect, right? So the middle word on the back of the shirts that have abide, connect, and another word to be talked about soon, not today. So today we're going to continue our conversation about connect and connecting and what that means and what that can look like here at Island Church. And before we dive into that, let's take a moment and pray together, all right, before we open up God's Word. Heavenly Father, we love you so very much. We thank you for the place and this time that we have to come together as a body of believers who share this common bond of Jesus. We have a lot of differences among us, Father, a lot of different likes and dislikes, a lot of different opinions, a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different talents and skills and careers and families and all those things. But Lord, Jesus is what brings us together and truly connects us. We thank you for this chance to worship as the body again this week. Be with us this morning. Let your will, may our will rather become your will, and let your will pour forth upon us. We pray this in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, so last week I began this conversation about connecting and talked about three truths that were kind of core to this idea, this value of connecting, and we talked about those. The first one was, because I have a relationship with God, I now have a relationship with God's family, right? It's like if I'm going to have the relationship with God, then immediately I'm part of the family, and so I have to have this relationship there. The second one was, it's impossible to be right with God if I'm not right with God's family, right? And I told you to put a mental pin in that, and so we'll come back to that. And the third one was, my relationship with God grows by fellowship with His family. It's that thing of, you know, because I'm in God's family, I am part of His family, right? Because of my relationship with Him, I'm in His family, and my relationship with Him grows as my relationship grows and fellowshipping in His family. It takes all of us, right, growing towards Christ. And so we did talk more about the first one and the third one last week, so today we're going to do a little more of a deep dive into that second truth, that idea that it's impossible to be right with God if I'm not right with God's family. So last week, we started this off, and we looked at this for just a minute, and we looked at a couple of scriptures. I want to talk about those first, obviously, this morning. First one of those is in John chapter 14, and in verse 15, Jesus said to His followers, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments." Now, we've talked about that verse a couple of times now in this series. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments, and I want to remind you, the emphasis in that verse is on the loving part. Some people would read that and say, like, well, if you love Me, then you'll keep My commandments. But in the Greek, the emphasis is on, if you love Me, then you'll keep My commandments. And the idea there is that we don't earn God's love by keeping His commandments. That's not how God works. That might be how people around us sometimes work. That might be how we work with others sometimes, but that ain't how God works, to use my highfalutin Kentucky words. That's just not how God works. God loves us, and it's out of that love for Him that we then choose to obey Him. And it's that overflow that happens. And think about it like this. Have you ever had a time when you were forced to do something for someone else but you didn't really want to. Right? Now, hopefully that wasn't this morning, but like think like growing up, weren't there times with your parents? We've got some people who have parents with them this morning, so you don't have to smile too loud when I say this, but haven't there been times when with your parents say, do this, and you feel like, okay, I have to do this, but I'm not happy about it, right? I'm not thrilled, right? Or maybe some of us have that experience with bosses, right? We're at work, and we get something that was somebody else's responsibility just suddenly dumped on us, and they don't give, we know no bonus or extra pay is coming, not even an attaboy probably, but you know, we have to do it, and we do it because we're a professional. We're like, oh, I'm going to do my job. I'd like to keep my job, right? Maybe we've been that way with teachers, right? We think, man, this homework assignment is just really, really dumb. It's not even teaching me anything, but I got to do it because I'll get a grade, so I've got to do it to please the teacher, right? Or, you know, hopefully none of us here, but, you know, maybe a police officer. Right? I'm gonna let off on the gas pedal because I see that police car, right? You know, sometimes we do things we don't want to do for other people. But have you ever done something for someone and like for those of us who are married, I think about our spouse. You ever done something for a spouse or maybe for a parent or maybe for a child that maybe you really like were indifferent to? Either way, or maybe you even really didn't really want to do it, but you wanted to make them happy. Big difference, right? Right? It's one thing like, I want to make the teacher happy enough to give me an A, so I'm going to do this, versus I want my wife to be happy, and so I'm going to do this thing. I want my husband to be happy, so I'm going to do this thing, right? And that's kind of what we're talking about with this difference here. We love Jesus so much that we want to obey him. It's not, I'm going to work my butt off trying to obey him to see if I can make the grade, to see if I can be good enough, right? So I'm going to, you know, do what he does. I'm going to live like he lived. I'm going to, you know, love like he loved. And then Jesus took that a step further, one chapter over. In my Bible, that's one page over. And in John 15, verse 12, Jesus then said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So isn't that awesome how those just build on each other, right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Flip the page. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Man, that's pretty clear, isn't it? There's nothing like we don't have to like wrap our brains around some theological dance to figure out what Jesus is saying here, do we? It's pretty plain. And that's the evidence of us being in a right relationship with Jesus. How are we doing at loving others? I think this is a problem for many of us in the church today. Here's the problem. We say that we love Jesus, but we don't show love to other believers. Forget the rest of the world out there for just a second. Let's not forget them, and we will be talking more about them, and the next couple of weeks will be spent on them. But just talking about within the body of Christ, we say we love Jesus, and then we just treat other followers of Jesus bad. And maybe it's because we disagree with them, right? Maybe we disagree with their denominational beliefs. Well, they didn't dunk somebody before they were baptized, so I have a problem with them, and so I'm going to treat them like I think they deserve to be treated, right? Or maybe we have a problem with their political beliefs. We're like, well, obviously they're not looking at Scripture, and they're obviously wrong, and so I'm going to immediately have a problem with them. Maybe we have a problem with how they relate to unbelievers. It's one thing to care about the lost, but they go too far. And that's, I don't like how they do that. And so I'm going to have a problem with them, right? Maybe we have problems with their sport team affiliations. And we say, well, if they're going to root for that team, by golly, I am not. They are the kind of Christian I want to hang out with and associate with, right? Or maybe this one. Oh, don't even go there. Or maybe this one. Maybe we have a problem with another Christ follower because of their level of commitment. Well, if they were as committed as I would, they would fill in the blank. Or, oh, look at them. They just think they're so much. They've got to do everything. You know? I mean, one or the other. Maybe it's their choice in spouse. You know? Maybe it's their choice in cars. I don't know. You know? I mean, I have been in a church where there were people who like didn't talk to each other because they drove a Ford and they drove a Chevy, right? I mean, I mean, it's fine to have these little things, but is it, when we take it that far, and remember what Jesus just told us, right? About a command that we're supposed to keep if we love them, and that command is love each other like he loved us. Or maybe it's not that we have any of these huge problems with people, but maybe it's just that we don't like really give love to other Christ followers because we just don't have the time. We just don't have the time. My life is so busy. My life is so busy that I just can't be bothered with them and their stuff. Or maybe we don't have the money. And we're like, man, if I get involved with other people, man, they're needy. People are needy. Everybody's always wanting something. Everybody's always wanting help with something. And, you know, they pull that whole scripture out of Acts 2 where, you know, they gave to each other as they needed. Somebody's going to want me to do that. Oh, my goodness. Or maybe we just don't have enough energy. Maybe we just don't have enough energy. Maybe because of something we've been through in our lives, or maybe just because other people, anybody agree with me? Sometimes other people are draining. Do other people just ever slam wear you out? Or as we say around here, mommick you to death, right? What does that say, though, about our faith? What does it say about our relationship with Jesus if those are the kind of attitudes and thoughts that we have? The Apostle John, you know, who was recording what we just read about Jesus, he takes that a step further and like really puts it in our face in one of my favorite books in the Bible, 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, and he says in verse 20, starting in verse 20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot, not might not, not has trouble with, not is going to have to work really hard at, but cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Man, that's some tough stuff, isn't it? And maybe you're like, you read that on the screen there and you says, you know, if anyone says I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. And maybe you're sitting there swearing, you're like, well, it's not, Charlie, come on now, come on. I don't hate anybody. I just strongly dislike some certain people, and there's some people that I really just don't want to spend much time in their presence. And, you know, I'm not going to cry for so much at their funeral or what, but I don't hate them, right? I just, not wild about them. But I would point out that the word, the Greek word there that is used for hate can also be translated as ill feelings that affect the way you act towards someone. Does that make it get a little more ouchy for any of us? Ouchy, yeah. So, if I have ill feelings towards a brother or sister in Christ, and I'm acting like everything is just peachy between me and God, me and Jesus, right? Then I am lying to myself, according to John, who walked around and hung out with Jesus for a long time. And I'm lying to God. Now, this is a really big deal. This isn't just one of these things we can gloss over, which is why I didn't want to talk about it last week. We had too much other stuff to talk about last week. I wanted to circle back to this because this is a big deal. We are so angry in our country right now. We are so angry, and I wish I was talking about people outside the church. We're angry about everything. Man, we're angry about the cost of living. Who is not angry about the cost of living right now, right? Go buy anything at the grocery store. It's crazy. We're angry about being told what to do. Anybody here been angry about being told what to do in any part of your life in the last 5 years? I'm betting every hand would go up, right? We're angry about what we perceive as losing our rights. In some cases, we are losing our rights. We're angry about people who disagree with us. We're angry about people who disagree with God. Man, we often let that anger overflow out of us and into this world, onto other people around us, including, unfortunately, other followers of Jesus. Anybody here heard of a guy named Francis Chan? He's a pretty good author, pastor, Christian, some will call him theologian. He wrote a book I read last year, I guess it was, called Until Unity, talking about unity within the church, within the body of Christ. And he says in that book why this is such a big deal for us. I want to read you a quote, it should be on the screen there. He said, "Being a Christian is not about making a claim about which religion you subscribe to. Being a Christian means that Christ has entered you, filled you with his love, and is pouring his life through you to the people around you. If you have experienced the life-changing love of Jesus, you will be overflowing with love for God and for others. It's that simple. If you're prone to division and disunity, if you're having a hard time loving your brothers and sisters, then you have to ask the question, has his Spirit really entered me?" Do you see why this is so important? Here's a Charlie Miller original, not a Francis Chan one. "Our lack of love for other believers may be pointing to our lack of relationship with God through Jesus." Man, that's tough, isn't it? Now, I can't look at you and you can't look at me and make a claim definitively about your walk with Jesus or my walk with Jesus based on what I see on the outside. I can't definitively do that. But I tell you what, if I see somebody that is angry towards other followers of Jesus, and hear me, we all are sinners who have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We will all stumble and fall. We will all have moments where we lose our cool, where we lose our Jesus, and where we just get mad. The question is, are we somebody who always just gets mad? Do I regularly just get mad? Am I known by people around me as somebody with a hot head that just unleashes all the time? See, it ought to be, if things are right with us, if things are good, and me and Robert are loading something in the trailer one Sunday after church, and he pushes that thing a little too hard, and it hits me in the toe, and I let him have it, and I call him out for it, and I can't believe you did that, you jerk, and I walk off. Is Robert, you know, when he stands there at that moment, does he go, "Well, that's really unusual for Charlie. Man, something is wrong." Or is Robert going, "Man, he is always such a jerk." Right? I mean, see, that's the difference between I'm stumbling and I'm staying down in the mud all the time, right? And what we're talking about here is not just I mess up once and I realize it. I go, oh, Robert, man, I'm so sorry. I'm having a bad day. Our car didn't start. Had to get a ride. We're late to church. Paul chewed me out for being late. The sound was terrible because I was late. Things are bad. And I stubbed my toe and somebody didn't bring the favorite food for the potluck this afternoon. I'm sorry. And he's like, "Dude, it's all right." Right? That's what you hope for, right? But that, unfortunately, is not where a lot of us, and I'm not pointing our fingers at us. I mean, us followers of Jesus in the capital C church. That's not where a lot of us are. A lot of us are known by others in the church around us, and consequently those outside the church, as just mad and angry all the time. So what do we do? If that's us, if I'm stepping on your toe today, how do we fix that? What do we do about that? What's the answer or the solution here? Well, the answer, of course, is in Scripture, right? So, let's go over at the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew tells us, beginning in verse 23, well, he records Jesus telling us, Jesus says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, okay, now let's just stop right there for just a second. Offering your gift at the altar, we don't really have an altar in our gymnasium, right? And you don't typically bring like gifts to lay at the altar. So what is this, the equivalent of this to us? Well, our altar is really this whole room, but really our bodies are living sacrifices to Jesus, right? And so our simply being in the presence of other believers to worship God, that's like coming to the altar. And our gift, whereas they might bring something to the altar to lay down and give, our gift is our lives. So that basically means if you're here this morning with other believers and you're alive, okay, you qualify. You meet those requirements right there, right? If you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember, and while you're sitting here getting ready to sing a song, you're like waiting for Abby to kick it off and you love this song, and remember that your brother, that's talking about in Christ, has something against you. You're getting ready to sing that song and sing that you love that part where they sing, hallelujah, right? You're ready for that song. And all of a sudden, in the back of your mind, the Holy Spirit whispers somebody's name that you know you have a problem with. They've offended you. You've offended them. The last time you spoke, it was harsh. Maybe you haven't spoken in a long time. If you saw them walking down the street, you might, depending on whether they saw you first or not, turn or duck or go somewhere else. If you're at the grocery store and you see them at the end of an aisle, you might just keep going down that aisle to go to another aisle. You know what I'm talking about, that kind of a relationship. If that comes into your mind, then, verse 24, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So before you can offer yourself as a pleasing sacrifice to God, you have to be made right with someone else. Otherwise, your gift is not pleasing to God. That's the solution. I said the answer's there. I didn't say it was an easy answer, right? Because that isn't always easy, right? I mean, remember what Jesus said back in John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I love you. That's not easy to do, is it? To love like Jesus loved. And some of you are like, well, yeah, Jesus loved like that because he was God. Yes, you're right. But we sometimes forget the part where he was fully man and fully God, right? And the fully man part of Jesus is just like you and me, really hard to forgive somebody that has, like, you know, done something to tick him off. Hurt his feelings. Hurt him, not just his feelings. Hurt his livelihood. Hurt his family. Hurt somebody he cares about. Whatever. And yet he says, love one another as I have loved you. How can we do that? Some of y'all might be thinking, man, that is just absolutely impossible, right? It's impossible. And you're right. It is impossible. Only through Jesus Christ can it be possible. It's only out of the overflow of Jesus that comes from Jesus abiding in us that we are able to love others like Jesus loves us. Boy, isn't it cool how this all ties together? How do I love this other brother in Christ or sister in Christ who I've had a grudge with for years because they did me dirty at the potluck supper 50 years ago, or because last week they were a jerk to me, or whatever, or I was a jerk to them and I never said I'm sorry and it's just festered and grown into something bigger, whatever. How do I do that? Only out of the overflow of abiding with Jesus will you have the love that allows you to then love them. It's the only way. You can claim I'm going to be, you know, humanist about it, and I'm just going to force my emotions down deep, and I'm going to suck it up and be the better person and do the right thing. Well, you're a better person than most people I've ever known in my entire life if you can do that consistently and with any kind of genuine authenticity. Only out of the overflowing of Jesus that comes from abiding in us that we're able to love others like Jesus loves us. If you have a problem loving others, then you have a problem in your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. How do I fix that? You abide with Christ. It's not do more Bible studies, although they're not bad. It's not, you know, just like read the Bible for the sake of being able to check a box and say, I read the Bible, although it's not bad to read the Bible. It is abiding with Him. It's spending time with Jesus. It's hanging out with Jesus. How do I do that? Well, you're going to read the Bible, but you're reading the Bible to find out about Jesus. So you can understand what He thought about things, so I can then learn to think like He thought. Love like He loved. All right, so how can I work on this connect thing, right? How can I learn to live like, or to love other followers of Jesus like Jesus does, right? How can I do that better? What can I do here right at Island Church, for those of us that call this our church family? You know, after and while I'm working on this abiding. So I already know I need to abide with Jesus more, so I'm going to work on this abiding. But how can I better connect as I'm abiding with Jesus? How can I better connect with other followers? Well, I'm really glad you asked that question, because I want to give you a few quick suggestions. We have some things going on and some things coming up soon here at Island Church that are going to encourage us as a family in this whole connecting idea. And the first one of those is a pretty easy one. It's Second Sunday brunches. And we've got one of those today. See, what better way to connect than just hang out and eat food together, right? Tom and I started getting a conversation right before worship started, but I also was torn because I had something I had to cover before worship. We had like a minute and a half. And Tom said, you know what? We'll talk after. And I said, yes, while we're eating. Because that's a great time to talk, is while you're eating. It's wonderful. And it's great, too, because Tom can take a bite and chew on something while I'm talking. And then I can take a bite and chew on something while he's talking. Great back and forth rhythm with that. It works perfectly while you're eating. We have those almost every month since we started them last summer, right? I think we missed one or maybe two at most, but maybe just one. So, you know, if you haven't been staying for those, stay for those. It's easy. You stay, you sit down, you eat food. There's no real hard work involved. It's great. All right, so Second Sunday brunches. That's an easy one. That's something we got going on. Another thing you could do to connect, book club discussions. All right, book club. Some of you are like, I don't like to read. Okay, that's fine. Just come discuss. We'll pretend like you read it, and then we'll talk about it. And you can listen a lot and ask good questions. And I promise we won't say, well, if you'd read the book, you'd know. Because we're working really hard on abiding with Jesus and loving you, in spite of not having read the book, right? So some of y'all are aware, we mentioned last week, I think, maybe the week before, last week anyway, that we have a book kind of helping us learn how to abide more called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. And I mean, last week, those books all disappeared. So several of y'all took books. Wonderful. We ordered more. There are more. If you were wanting to get a book last week and there were none left, they're there. If you were like going, I hope they give them all away and then I'll have no excuse. You have no excuse now. There are more books back there, all right? So you can pick up a copy today. We're going to talk about that on Tuesday, December 12th in the evening. And that's going to be like live. Like we're going to have a meeting. It'll be probably at mine and Kim's house in Moorhead City. But if that's too far for you, or if you have a rough time getting there after work quick enough, or you have family and kids and you can't, like you don't have a way to have somebody watch your kids, we're going to do it via Zoom also, kind of a hybrid live Zoom thing. And so if you can't make it, but you want to join in on the discussion, we'll just Zoom you in and throw you up on our TV, and then we'll at least be able to see you. You might see some of us, but you'll definitely be heard and get to hear. So that would be cool. And the second thing, real quick, I'm going to like pre-promote something. So we've got another book that in another week or two will be here. It's ordered, and we're waiting for it to come. The book is called Praying for Your Elephant by Adam Stattmiller. Praying for Your Elephant, great book. And we're reading it in October because we're actually going to do a five-week series in October called Praying for Your Elephants. So you're going to find out all about what are these elephants and why are we praying for them, right? I don't even have an elephant, Charlie, and you want me to pray for it? Yes, we'll get to that in a few weeks. But we wanted to give you a heads up. This series is based on the book by Adam Stattmiller called Praying for Your Elephant. And so it's a great book to read. It's a pretty quick book to read. So we're going to have it here maybe next Sunday, definitely the Sunday after, just depending on how shipping goes. And We're going to have a discussion on that on Saturday, October 28th, and we're going to do the same thing, like have a discussion live and also available on Zoom. So if you're not around, but you could tune in, then you can. And I don't know if that's going to be in the afternoon or the evening yet, or maybe Saturday morning. I don't know. We'll see. We'll let you know as we get a little closer with that, right? So if you have a preference, let me know. So that's a way to connect, getting together, talking about a book with people, right? You're not a reader, just get together and connect and talk with people. It'll be okay. Third thing, it's not a new thing. We're rebranding it and we're growing it. Something called island groups. Now, we have one island group that's currently meeting, and they don't even know they're an island group because we're just launching that name today, and I didn't even tell them this morning because it was too crazy and busy, but that's okay. The OG of island groups is Clark and Norma Williamson, and they meet at their home on Thursdays at 6:30. They kind of hit the Cedar Point, Cape Carteret area, right? So some of y'all have already been going to their group on Thursday nights. And they've been meeting. They've been meeting faithfully. They've missed like 2 weeks of the entire time I've been coming to church here. And I don't think they wanted to miss those two, but they did. And so they're going. But we're also working on launching a couple more, getting a couple more groups off the ground really, really, really soon. So the first one of those is here on the island, and that's going to be at Paul and Rebecca Ortiz's house. It's going to be on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. at their house here on the island, and that's going to start on September the 20th, so that's a week from this coming Wednesday, I believe. Right? So, if you live on the island and you want a short drive and you want to go somewhere where they got all the answers, the pastor, he has to have all the answers, right? So, just go to his house and hang out, and they're going to have a group. They'll be starting there. So, that's an option for you. A third option, if you want to go somewhere where they have none of the answers, that's going to be at Charlie and Kim Miller's house. Sorry, I set myself up for that, I realized. So Kim and I are going to host a group all the way in Moorhead City. That's going to be on Tuesdays at 6:30. And so you know, we got a group on island. We got a group right over the bridge, right? So if you want to go over there, and if you want to like take a drive, 25 minutes or so past the bridge, 20 minutes past the bridge, you can get to Moorhead City and come hang out with me and Kim on Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. starting on the 19th. So that's, again, a week from this coming Tuesday. And, you know, I'll just throw out as a, okay, I know since I'm going to say this, since we have the long drive, if you want to come hang out at our small group, you know, you could always come early and stop at a nice restaurant in Moorhead or something, have dinner, and then come over to our group. That would be great. We'd love to have you. So we'll have some addresses and stuff up next week so you can figure out where exactly you're going. But if you're interested in one of those groups, just talk to Clark and Norma or Paul and Rebecca or me and Kim. We'd love to tell you about, you know, where we live and what we're going to do. So, but what is the point of these, of having these groups? Well, the point is to do life together, to connect more. And at these groups, there'll be some fellowship. There always is. We can't get together and not hang out and have a good time. But there's also going to be some Bible study. And we'll be filling in on what that is. And there's also going to be some prayer time because we need to be praying for each other and praying for our church, praying for our community, right? So, fellowship, Bible study, prayer time. We're hitting just about everything that we talked about last week in Acts chapter 2 they did with the apostles of the first church, right? I'm sure we can have some Oreos or something so that we can, quote-unquote, break bread together too, right? And we're planning some more opportunities to get together as a church, start having some more things like in the week or on a weekend when we can to give people an opportunity to get together and connect. If you have a suggestion for one of those things, Paul and I would love to hear from you, especially if you have a suggestion and you can help us make it happen. Like if your suggestion is, let's put on a big fair for our church. Great. You're going to have to help us put on a fair for the church if we're going to do that, right? Okay. So, And I'll say this too, you know, if you're looking at those three groups we just talked about that are getting ready to meet, and you're like, I don't know, I'm busy on those 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are bad for me, or I mean, I don't know, those are kind of late in the day, I wish you had something like at 9 in the morning, or if you're like, you know, I wish there was something on the weekend, or if you're just, I'm too busy during the week, I need a weekend, you know, it's okay. We would love for you to start a small group at a time that works for you, because there's probably somebody else that works better for also. And we can help you with that and make it very easy. Most people that I've, over the many years, worked with people doing small groups, most people worry about, like, what are we going to do? I'm not a Bible teacher. Well, we have a plan for something that's going to make that super simple for you. Where all you got to do is just ask a few questions about stuff they've probably already heard about before. Right? So if you are wanting to get into that yourself, we would love to talk to you. If you're like, none of those work for me, I want to do a Saturday morning just for ladies at the coffee shop, great. Come talk to us. We would love to help you get that rolling, all right? But why are we doing this? It's not just to put things on a calendar. Lord knows that Paul and I do not need more things on our calendars, all right? It's not just to look busy. It's for this reason right here. We can't grow closer in unity and truly connect with one another if we only get together on Sunday mornings. If we're only coming here on Sunday mornings, then that's not enough. We'll never get to really know each other beyond that surfacey layer. We won't know how to pray for each other because we don't know what's underneath the surfacey layer. Very rarely do people need prayer for the surface layer stuff. It's the stuff that's deeper down, isn't it? So, are you willing to join us? Are you willing to get involved? Are you willing to give it a try? Are you willing to try to connect with one another? We would love for you to do that. All right. And again, take me up on that offer. None of those times work. None of those places work. I need something in Beaufort or Smyrna or I don't know where, somewhere else, not here. Great. Start one somewhere else, not here. We would love to talk to you about that, because it is so important to connect with one another. And this connecting happens out of an overflow of the abiding with Jesus, right? When we abide with Jesus, we get to know him, we get filled up with him and his love for others, and then it spills out, and then we're able to love others the way that Jesus does. Even those we find challenging to love. And I want to close with a quote from Vance Pittman. You've heard his name. He wrote a book called Unburdened, which most of this series is based on, and from which we chose these words, abide, connect, and share. Oops, I gave it out, cat out of the bag for next week. But those came from Vance's book, Unburdened. And Vance said this about connecting. He said, "We don't have the right to throw out the biblical concept of community just because relationships can be challenging and difficult. In his infinite wisdom, God has given us his word as a guidebook. And in the Bible, it's clear that he designed us for community, not only to bless us as individuals, but to bless the world through our relationships, including by how we forgive one another. Even if we've got an issue with somebody, even if we're having a hard time loving somebody because of what they've done in the past, that's not an excuse for us if we're a follower of Jesus. I mean, unless we're doing what Francis Chan said we can't do, which is just say, well, I'm just saying I follow Jesus because I got to check a box about what religion I am somewhere. No. If you're following Jesus, if you're really following Jesus, it means he's in you. His spirit is in you. And that means we're supposed to love like he is. We got to follow his commands. Why? Because we love him. And that creates in us a love for others. So last week I gave you some homework and I said, who are you going to connect with this week? And I hope that you thought about that. I hope that you thought about somebody that you needed to maybe reach out to and make a connection with. If you didn't, you could do that again this week. If you go, I forgot I was supposed to do that. Great. Think about who you can connect with. But kind of the second question I would leave you with this morning is, how do you plan to connect with one another here at Island Church? Assuming this is your home church. As Paul likes to say, your church familia, right? Now, if you're a member elsewhere, if you're just visiting here today, great, go do that there. But how, if you're an Island Churcher, how are you going to connect with one another here at this church? Beyond just Sunday morning and the skimming along the surface. I would encourage you to talk that over with yourself, with God, with your spouse, with your family, whatever. And think about, how can I do that? How can I work that out? And again, Paul and I would love to talk to you if what we're trying to start offering now isn't going to work for you, we'd love to try and help you figure out what can we do then, right? And maybe it's, you know, our goal would be that, hey, this time next year, we've got a dozen small groups throughout Carteret County and beyond that get together and meet throughout the weeks, right? Right now, if we did that, they'd have like 3 people at each one of them. So we need a few, but you know, here's a cool thing. You get a small group going, and now you have an opportunity of a very safe place to invite somebody you know who isn't a church goer, maybe who doesn't know Jesus. And maybe coming to church, even in a gym, is a little intimidating for them. But coming over to your house to hang out with a few friends on Tuesday night is not that big a deal. And so it gives you a great opportunity to offer that to them, right? And then they come, they get to know, hey, these people are not some weirdos. They're just like me, kind of weirdo. They're just normal, everyday people. And, you know, they seem to not be hating everybody. I mean, assuming we're not hating everybody, right? Assuming we have that love of Jesus abiding in us and overflowing out of us. All right. How are you going to connect here at Island Church? Let's pray. Father God, we love you so very much. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you for the ability we have to abide with Jesus and abide in him, and he abides in us. We thank you, Father, that the more time we spend with Jesus, the more his love overflows out of us and into others. Father, forgive us for the times we have not done a very good job with loving on our brothers and sisters in Christ. I know I am guilty of at times harboring ill will towards brothers and sisters in Christ, of feeling hurt by brothers and sisters in Christ, and just not wanting to have anything to do with a brother or sister in Christ. And Father, I'm guessing I'm not alone in that for most of us here at some point in our lives. And so we ask you to forgive us, Father. Help us to return to the one place we can go in order to work through that, and that is Jesus. Help us to return to Jesus so that we can abide deeper with him, that we might learn to love those who we find unlovable in our lives right now. Father, may we grow and grow to become a church that is known for its love for one another, so much so that people are going, I want to go be a part of what's going on there because they're different. Help us to be that, Father. It sounds crazy to ask for that in you know, 2023, Lord, but it could be if your will is done. And so we ask for your will to be done. That people would see us and go, man, they just love each other a lot. I want to be loved on like that. That would be awesome. And may you receive all the credit and glory for that, Father. Thank you so very much for this church family. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.